Welcome back to this week's edition of Sports Blogger Radio, brought to you by FanJunkies.net. I'm your host, John Leary, and with me is always Scott Murphy Blooney. Today we're going to be talking about the Red Sox being in first place, the Bruins, and how far we think they're going to go into the playoffs, and the feel-good story of the week, Jason Collins coming out. Scott, how's finals week going? How you doing?
I'm going all right. It's all right. Kind of sucks. I got two papers, three finals. I got paper due Friday, an exam. Hey, shut up, man. I do a lot of crap around here, and it sucks. But I've just been making sure that I take my breaks with plenty of alcohol and enjoying college all the while. But
Salt and vinegar chips and turkey sandwiches.
Dude, I want to say for the record, salt and vinegar chips, which is something I was not exposed to up until about 2 months ago, are delicious. Like, they're by far the best chips that you can, especially the, I recommend the Lay's Kettle Cooks sea salt and vinegar chips. That's a sports blogger endorsement right there. Lays, if you want to give us a call.
There you go. Hey.
Call John.
I was going to say, Frito-Lay, give me a call. We'd be happy to take your sponsorship and chips.
We'd be happy to take all your money.
Yes. All right. So, listen, the Red Sox, 18-8 in first place. New York Yankees, two games behind. Toronto, last place. How are you feeling about that?
Well, I feel that Red Sox fans can rejoice a little bit because last year, the big problem was our starters and how our pitching was really, really bad. And now our pitching is really, really good. I mean, John Lester, it has a winning record. He has, like, a pretty low ERA, like 3.11-ish. Clay Buchholz, I'm going to go ahead and say that he, even this early on, if he stays healthy, like, look out AL Cy Young, man. Like, wow. the guy is straight fire right now, dude.
Yeah, man, I'll give it to you. I don't know if I'm going to go on the on record and say that he's going to win the Cy Young just yet. However, what is he? He's 5-0 or 4-0? He's 5-0.
A 1.19 ERA. He's got just barely a 1 walks in his per innings pitch.
He's pitching the best I've ever seen him. Except for the first year that he came and where he was like lights out and obviously had a no hitter, but I mean he's more rounded pitcher. He's playing good.
Yeah,
most of the Red Sox are.
He's playing well right now, dude. And then you have the depth pitchers, like you have Felix DuBrant, who's 3-0, and you have Andrew Bailey has been stepping up. Joel Hanrahan, and this is I think what kind of defines the new Red Sox from the old Red Sox. Joel Hanrahan was stripped from his closing position and didn't complain about it. He said that he understands where the Red Sox are with the way that he's playing, and he will just do anything to be on the roster and help. Which is like mind blowing.
It is, but you got to remember, this guy came from Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? Like, and he's not used to winning.
Pittsburgh was good last year.
But they weren't. Listen, they not the Pittsburgh was not the Red Sox. You know what I mean? It's like a whole different, term of winning around here. Like, we have World Series in the past, 10 years. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's just I commend him. I commend him for taking a step back and saying that, he'll just do whatever it takes to win and stuff like that. But, I mean, obviously he was brought here to close, so.
Yeah, but could you imagine if, a Josh Beckett, if they told him, we're going to sign you to Pawsox, whatever, he'd throw a crap fit.
I'm just saying
the fact that
I know you're talking about the whole attitude of the team, and then I get that, and you're right, you're 100% right. I won't say otherwise, and I love how even now, like watching, like I, you know, watching the game last night, they got down early, you know, 1-0. I didn't panic as a Red Sox fan because they've been so resilient this year, coming back, scoring runs, you know, and doing it either by the big ball or you know, playing small ball. They're winning in both ways. They're either winning really big or really small, but they're still winning.
Yeah, you know? And we're getting contributions from, you know, Victorino's been playing very well. You know,
Well, Victorino's been out for 6 games so far. But, I mean, David Ortiz is...
yeah, but Victorino got us off in the right direction, dude.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. He did. You know, but even Mike Napoli leading...
Napoli is a beast.
He's not leading anymore, but he's still, you know, he's playing awesome. David Ross, Daniel Nava. I mean, these guys... I could go on. I could list the entire team. Every single player is just playing like they have something to prove, which is great. That's exactly what we were talking about at the beginning of the year, how they needed to do that.
Yeah, it's been an attitude adjustment. You know what? I remember in one of the earlier shows we did, we just said, like, we were just talking about, like, oh, what we can, like, how bad are the Sox going to be or something like that. We were just talking about, and then I believe, I don't know if it was you or me, but we were just like, in Farrell we trust. And, like, we just kind of in there. And it just goes to show, like, everyone's, like, so pumped about Bobby Valentine. And now it's, like, John Farrell, people don't know. But, like, clearly we see the distinction between Farrell and – it's, like, night and day.
It is. I mean, and, like, if you look at it, if you look at the whole perspective of it, you look at Toronto, and they're in last place. You know, they had John Farrell last year. And a lot of people would say, you know – like last year, a lot of people were saying, you know, John Farrell's not that great of a manager, this and that. But I don't think it really has anything to do with his manager skills. I think it has a lot to do with the players wanting to play for him.
Yeah.
They respect, like, I don't think the people in Toronto really respected John Farrell's, you know, way of coaching. However, the people, you know, the players in the Red Sox organization, they have most of them had already played with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, you know, some of the core guys have played with him, so they knew how he was, and they respected him, so they played for him.
And especially after last year, how disappointing it was, they were just like, all right, let's start over new. Like, we need this guy. Like, he's got a background with us. Like, let's do this. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, and the greatest thing is when you look at it, how many times did the Red Sox players have to face questions about, you know, fried chicken and beer or not giving their all and playing this? They came out with their pants on fire. They knew that they had to play better. Even the new guys knew that they had to play better because playing in Boston is an entirely different thing than playing in, you know, Pittsburgh or playing Toronto or stuff like that. Like, these guys, you don't show up and play. You're going to get chastised. That's the way we are in Boston. We obliterate you.
Boston is the only city that, and I had experience with this, where you can get yelled at by your fellow fans for leaving a game early.
Yes.
I was at a Bruins game. We were waiting like 4 hours or something like that, and my dad was like, all right, let's go. Like, he was driving. Like, we got to meet traffic. And I was like, all right, fine, or whatever. Like, it was like 2 minutes left, and we were clearly winning. And then this guy's like, hey! Like, the Southie bus guy, what are you doing?
Why are you leaving, guy?
Like, I'm sorry, my dad, you know, he's like, oh, some fan you are. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
God, dude.
Well, that's exactly my point. I don't know how many times I've, you know, fourth quarter of a New England Patriots game, and they'll be up, like, by, like, 4 touchdowns. You get up, and everybody's like, where you going? Where you going?
Yeah, so
I gotta work tomorrow. Yeah, so don't I. Haven't had a beer. You know what I mean? So yeah,
get
you're right.
Grandma Sam, you ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's just typical.
The game isn't over yet.
Typical Boston fans. They just demand so much respect from fans, from the organizations, and they demand excellence. Like, they need it.
And then,
we're so spoiled, dude.
We are so spoiled.
We're so spoiled. It's unbelievable.
And like, I think, and that's what I think is hilarious because, you know, this century, you take away this century, you know, everybody was like, oh, Boston sucks. You know, like everybody, like the Red Sox were terrible. The Celtics were probably the only bright spot. You know, the Patriots were, you know, bad,
yeah.
Real bad. You know what I mean? And the Bruins were just,
oh, my. I remember going to games back in, must have been like 2000, even like 2002. I remember going to a game where Boston was playing Minnesota. Minnesota was a brand new team, the Wild. And it might have been like 03 or 04, something like that. But like, I don't know. My childhood is just a blur, even though I'm so young. But I remember they lost like 7-1. And I was like, it was like Ray Kroft in net and like, I think Kessel and Thornton. And I was like, and Billy Guerin, and I was like,
say Kessel must have been a rookie then.
And I was like, Dad, like, what's going on? And he's like, well, Bruins suck. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, and then, you know, we've been winning. We're Championship City, and we have this long-standing tradition of excellence. And you know, but you know, going back to the Red Sox, getting contributions from pitching, good hitting, like you said, long
time, good timely hitting too. It's not just regular hitting.
But, yeah, they're just – everyone's playing real well. And it's great to see that we're in first place, and I love it even more. Isn't it weird that I love to hate teams more than I love to love teams?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the bottom.
I love to hate.
Like, we could sit there and say, you know, our teams are playing great, but us as fans are always going to pull out the negatives because that's the way we are.
I love to see that Toronto is doing terrible just because of all the hype that got tucked up this year. So,
oh, well, yeah, I mean, well, that it's the same reason why when the Miami Heat got Chris Bosh and LeBron James, you know, they stumbled out of the gate and everybody laughed. You know, it was the greatest thing since sliced bread because, you know, oh, you put it, you know, money can't buy you championships. Obviously, they have won one, but but it doesn't buy you championships right away. You know what I mean? Like, they had to work for that.
Who knows? Maybe Toronto will win it all next year, but I don't really care.
all right.
Toronto, I really don't care. But,
all right, let's moving on. We're going to move on to the Bruins in the playoffs. And my biggest question to you is, given their recent struggles in third periods, giving up leads, playing like they just don't know what's going on, how far do you see them going?
All right, well, here's why I stay on this whole thing. I think we were looking up and talking about earlier Phil Kessel against Boston.
Yeah.
I think that it was like in 22 games, he has 3 goals and 6 assists and is a negative 22 rating. Phil Kessel is their big guy. Like he's their guy.
He's their leading scorer, right?
Yeah, he is. Toronto is 6th in the NHL with 3 goals per game, basically. And Kessel had 20 goals, 32 assists. He's great on the power play. The guy has a monster season, but when he plays Boston and those thank you Kessel chants start just like raining like
down.
Rain from the bleachers of the TD Garden. Like,
oh, I'll tell you right now, if you know, the second Tyler Seguin scores a goal.
Oh, or Dougie, or if Tuukka makes a good play. I mean, because I think we got Tuukka, Dougie, and Seguin from Kessel in some way or another from Kessel.
I don't know about Tuukka, but definitely Dougie and Tyler.
I think we traded Tuukka. I think that that Tuukka came over from Toronto. I'm almost positive.
I'll take your word for it. I don't really know.
I'm almost positive he did.
But anyways, yeah, you know, if Tuukka makes a good stop, Tyler scores, or Dougie Hamilton scores, it's going to rain.
Yeah, it's going to
rain.
And just like, so I know the Bruins have been struggling lately, but like Toronto, we have had their number. Like, and we shut down, well, maybe it's a psychological thing, but we shut down Phil Kessel. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, like, them in the playoffs is just kind of like an abnormality. Like, I'm not going to take them very seriously because they're not, like, you can win without a power play, but you can't win without good goaltending. And, like, Reimer.
Well, listen, the Toronto Maple Leafs are, they're a young team. They don't have a lot of experience in the playoffs, obviously, you know, but they're a lot more physical this year than they have been in the past couple of years. You know, they're gonna play the Bruins hard. They're going to push them around. They're going to try to push their buttons. You know what I mean? Because that – it's funny when you look at it, like last year and the year before that, the Bruins wanted to play the physical game. They wanted to play the physical game. They wanted to get into fights because that's the way they played. You know, they played a lot better. But the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, this year the Toronto Maple Leafs want to get them in that position because they take their best guy, they take the best Bruins guys off the ice when they do that.
I'd be willing to throw Milan Lucic off the ice whenever we had the chance.
See, that, and that's exactly my point. Everybody's, you know, everybody's hard on Milan Lucic. Yeah, he's not having a great season, but playoffs are a whole different time.
Okay.
You know?
So, okay. This is the Milan Lucic 5 minute.
I'm going to say, lay on some knowledge, yeah.
No, well, I think a perfectly viable strategy going into these playoffs would be having Milan Lucic bring his physical game, because he has just been not been clicking in terms of scoring, in terms of chemistry, in terms of hustle. And in the past couple of games, we've seen like he's got like a couple fights and he's been hitting hard and he's kind of going back to his physical game. I would much rather him be a physical element than a scoring element in this series.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I think that Dogovins and I don't know how to pronounce the names. I'm sorry if I butchered it. Dogovins and Soderberg. Like, I would rather see them in scoring, because they've been playing hard. Like, they've been playing real hard, and they've been impressing me more than Lucic has. And I'm going to, you know, we already talked about how Lucic's play has been lethargic at best. But I would like to see, you know, if they want to get physical, like, bring it on. Lucic is going to mess you up. Like, that's the way it is.
Well, that's the way we need him to be, you know, and that's obviously what's been lacking. But then again, it is the playoffs. He could turn it on, you know, he could flip it.
If he turns it on, then that's one thing. But at the same time, if they want to start dropping mitts and going after our guys, like Lucic is the perfect guy for this series, then.
Yeah.
But honestly, you asked me how many games ago, is that what the question was?
Well, just, you know, not necessarily. Like, me personally, I think I they're going to win this series. I'm saying five games. So I'm going to give Toronto a little
six.
Bit. Okay, you're saying six. I'm saying five. All right, so we're about, about the same on that. I'm saying, like, in the playoffs in general, like, do you think they're going to make it? Yeah, you know
what
I mean?
Here's the issue. More than likely, we'll be playing Pittsburgh in the next series.
Okay.
Right.
Well, who is Pittsburgh playing right now? Montreal?
No. Pittsburgh is playing. Oh, who is the seventh?
The Rangers? Is that what it is?
No, not playing the Rangers. Rangers are playing the Capitals. Who are they playing? It might be the Islanders, actually. They're playing the eighth seed. I forget who it is.
They're playing the Islanders. They're gonna mop the floor with the Islanders.
I think that they are. I'm not entirely sure though. But. You know, it's just like the Penguins are on a different level right now, and their roster is just unreal. So, yeah, they are playing the New York Islanders. Wow, I'm good. the Islanders should – I mean, unless – you remember what happened last year when Marc-Andre Fleury just completely sucked and they had an early exit. If that happens again,
I will do handstands.
I will laugh my ass off, first of all. Second of all, if we get a second round against the Islanders, that will be awesome. We will beat Toronto. They're going to take one at home. They're going to take one in our building, I think. And it's going to be – we're going to win in six. If we play Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh just like, you know, which they probably will, just completely demolishes the Islanders and the – Bruins go in there, that's going to be a tough matchup for the Bruins, because I think that the Bruins lost most, if not all, games to Pittsburgh.
I think they did lose all of them. Series.
That's a tough matchup. That's basically speed versus grit, which we haven't done well with this year. We saw in Montreal, that's a speed team, and we're a grit team, and we haven't been playing well with them either. And from an objective standpoint, it could very well end up there I'm sure that they will. If the Islanders pull an LA Kings and they beat the one seed, I'll be so happy, because that just makes our job so much easier. And we've already seen how sometimes Marc-Andre Fleury can crack under pressure and not do as well.
do you think he's the next Luongo?
I don't know. Luongo's getting the start for the playoffs, which makes me really happy, because I want to see him fail even more. I just, you know, I've grown to hate the whole Canucks organization, everyone associated with it, so.
Yeah, they're, and it's not even, you know, it's funny, because I could say so many mean things about them. They're just ass bags. Moving on.
But yeah. So I mean, I think that it could very well end in Pittsburgh, or against Pittsburgh. But I mean, you never know. They're definitely getting through this round, and next round is gonna be tough for them because if we had won the stupid game, against, what was our last game against?
Senators.
If we had won that stupid game,
we would have had the second seed, right?
We would have had the second seed. We would have been playing, you know, the, I think we would have, no, Montreal is not now the second seed. Montreal's the second seed. We would have been playing, I think the Rangers or something like that, which.
No, the Rangers are playing the Capitals.
Aren't the Capitals the second seed? No. Oh, no. We would have been playing someone terrible, and that would have been great. So, that's basically what I'm trying to say. And, yeah, I don't know. That's stupid. If the Bruins can get their stuff together and just be the playoff team that they were 2 years ago, then, you know. And it's kind of a similar situation. Like, if you look at the goal, if you look at the two things that jump out to me are the goaltending and the lack of power play.
Yeah, well, the power play is nothing new.
No, I mean, but
so, but the goaltending is an entirely different situation now, only because we were so used to leaning on Tim Thomas that now, you know, granted back in 2010 when Tuukka Rask was playing,
mm-hmm.
was it 2010? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was.
When he, that was his first year as a first year as a semi starter. So he's got to have that experience. I think he's going to play a lot better. You know, as long as he doesn't have a complete snafu, you know.
Okay, I want to just say this though. The numbers from Tim Thomas going to the playoffs: a 2.00 goals against average, .938 save percentage. Tuukka Rask going to the playoffs: a flat 2.9 goals against average and a .93 save percentage. Like, pretty similar numbers, and they both have a lot of wins proportionate to how long this series is, the season has been. So, you know, like, Tuukka Rask coming in hot. James Reimer, you know, 19 wins, 2.46 goals against, .924 save percentage. Not great, but he's been playing well lately.
Yeah, he's not a bad goalie. I just don't – I mean, when it comes down to the playoffs, a lot of these players – either show up or they don't show up, and that's gonna be the key there. Who shows up and who doesn't?
Listen, I think that we have the advantage in defense, goaltending, coaching, and I think that special teams, Toronto has the advantage, and forwards are pretty even. We have more of a well-rounded deep offense. They have a first line that's their first line that does.
Well, you said on special teams, so you're talking about like the power play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, aren't we number one against the power play?
No, we're number. We've been falling. We're number. And our power play, our penalty kill is so bad.
Yeah.
Right now, we slid to fourth. The Leafs are second. The Leafs, their penalty kill is 87.9. Our penalty kill is 87.1.
Okay, so we're pretty even.
But Toronto is 14th on the power play. They convert almost 20% of what the power plays they have. And Boston is just like not even 15. So,
yeah. Okay.
You know, it's whatever. But I think that Reimer steals a game in Boston.
And Rask steals a game in Toronto.
I say that it's going to be. I think it's going to be Bruins win, Leafs, Bruins.
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 Then Leafs.
Yep.
The game that, I'll go with you on that because I think the Bruins that can close it out will have to go an extra game.
Yep.
That's my thing. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say that David Krejci is going to be the point leader in the series.
I'm going to say that Sagan scores the game winner in game 6 assisted by Hamilton and Kessel is a -1.
Jesus, you're really going in there. All right.
That's my vote for prediction. Thank you, Kessel. That's all. But Bruins in 6. If we play Pittsburgh, it's going to be tough.
Tough. Well, we'll attack that. Let's get through this round first. We'll attack that at another time.
Yeah.
So I want to go ahead and say something here, and you know, Scott, you can go ahead and say your piece about it. But this week, if you have not heard, and I'm pretty sure everybody who's a sports fan has heard this, Jason Collins has officially announced he was gay. He, you know, or come out of the closet, or however you want to pronounce it, I don't know. And being an active, you know, athlete is huge to, you know, to the sports world. You know, I can't do anything but commend the man. You know, how I feel about it, you know, love is love. Doesn't matter if you love another man or if you love another woman, you know. If you're a woman who loves a woman or a man who loves a man, I think it's great. And I think that's going to open up the doors to a lot of, you know, players out there that might be holding back. I mean, I think it's great. What do you think?
So the first thing I want to say is I'm going to call up Mike Wallace right now, who I don't know if you guys saw the tweets, but he said something real stupid. He said
What? An athlete saying something stupid? No way.
He was tweeting about, I think he said, all right, this is what he said, and I quote, "All these beautiful women in the world and guys want to mess with other guys. I'm not bashing anybody. Just don't have anything against anyone. I just don't understand it." First of all, you're a moron. Like, come on, dude. And
he makes it sound like it's a disease.
I got friends who are Florida sports fans, and even they're like, come on, man. Like, what are you saying? I absolutely agree with you. And Mike Wallace, and anyone who agrees with Mike Wallace, like, grow up and, you know,
that's a person
and, you know, look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know.
Like, that's my biggest thing. It's the 21st century. You know, there's gay people. Yeah, I mean, why are people still sitting back and staying?
I don't understand.
You know, like there was some numbskull on the ESPN here, and I don't know the guy's name, and I'm not even gonna look up his name because I don't feel that he should be glorified for what he said. You know, but he basically said that being gay is a sin. Well, you know what? Like I said, it's the 21st century,
this,
man.
This is getting political, but.
I'm one person not to talk politics, but I'm just saying, like,
if someone's not hurting you, then leave them alone. Let them do what they want. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how does one person's, you know, sexuality preference affect your life?
No,
it doesn't.
And I think that Jason Collins coming out is fantastic for the sport. I think it's fantastic for American pro sports. You know, people are making comparisons to Jackie Robinson when she was the MLB's first black player. You know, I commend this guy. This guy is so courageous.
Oh, he is.
Playing in a league and for playing in a country where people still have this kind of problem with, you know, that. And, you know, I really commend the guy. I think that he's going to be an outstanding. I think that as of right now, he has become an outstanding ambassador for the sport and an outstanding ambassador for American sports. And, you know, like, good for him. Like, that takes some serious courage to go out and say that when you know that you're going to be, when people might heckle you, people might use
it
against you and play like that.
That's it. And, I mean, the biggest thing is, there's one thing about fan reaction, but it's the guys that are in the locker room with you, the players that play alongside you. You know, he was on the Celtics organization for some this year. And I mean, you know, the main guys, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, you know, these guys came out and said, you know, good for him. You know, I'm happy that he finally came out of show. Kobe Bryant. I mean, listen, I don't like Kobe Bryant. I think he's a douche, but, the thing about it, he's come out and he's like, you know what, good for him. You know, why hide? You know, but good.
Yeah.
You know, these guys have Jason Collins' back, and that means more to him, I'm sure, than, you know, some guy on ESPN being like, oh, it's a sin. You know, he's not going to listen to him.
And I think that you know, with Collins leading the way, people who, people who are gay, people who, are identify with something other than heterosexuality, they're going to come, like, I know the You Can Play project in the NHL has been promoting, equal LGBTQTA, I don't know the whole thing, equality in sports, and he is, outrageous, like, incredibly courageous, and this sets a great precedent for sports that I'm proud to be someone enthusiastic about American sports. I think this guy's great.
Absolutely. But that's all the time we have for this week, guys. I just want to thank you guys for tuning in to this week's show. If you could go ahead and give Jonathan Ragnus and Michael McShay over at Fan Junkies Radio a listen Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12 p.m. And tune in to 5 Minutes at the Frat House every Saturday at 3 p.m. While you're at it, follow us on Twitter at SportsBlaga. Like us on Facebook. And, tune in next week.
Let's go Boston. Let's go Bruins.